My favorite verse, I sort of start with something that I have always sort of thought about a lot, but the verse from Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. Matthew 6:33. So this isn't a formula. You don't have to copy this. I'm just sharing what I do and how I talk to others about Jesus, who's my best friend. So I have the privilege of living not far from the ocean, just near these guys. And, you know, that's my secret place. And I think it's important to find a secret place that you can spend time with Jesus. And just so you can stop and listen to the still small voice of his, you've got to get out of this crazy rat race of a world and just take that time just to bathe in his presence. So what I think is just like you just start moving away from the noise of this world and find your quiet place that suits you so you can bathe in his presence. For the past several years, mine is the beach, which it wasn't before. It was Richmond and dashing to the gym with six kids, you know, getting them off to school and everything like that. So it was a bit hard to find that space. But now I can actually ride my bike to the beach, put up my little beach tent and sit there. And some friends from Canada have called me the beach monk. So I sit and wait. And even last year I was sort of feeling like someone prayed over me. I think it was Sarah Torrington said that I was like a Deborah, and I was like, oh, the tent of meeting, you know. And often these guys will wander down and we'll connect with people, or, you know, like it's a joint thing often too. So the other thing I find really special, I don't know what it is, but once I live near the beach, when my feet hit the sand, I just start hearing songs. And my phone is kind of full of them, and I just start singing whatever God shows me, what I hear, and I just get words, or I'll get a riddle and I've got to work it out, or he'll share just one word or something. And I just find, I think maybe because it's where the ocean joins the land or something, there's something special about that place. And so I just sort of walk as well. So walking, listening, you know, it's all sort of goes together. And I want to say that God does speak to us. Some people might not. I have heard other Christians say, oh, he doesn't speak to me, but he does if you get away quietly in a place where you can actually hear him. So God does speak to us, and it's when I focus my thoughts to the beauty of God's creation around me, and I use a lot of emojis, so I've got, as Martin knows, I've got an eagle, a dolphin, a whale, I've got water, sunset, seal, yacht, fish, people surfing. I love sitting there watching all the generations that live at Borley Point, and the grandchildren are now surfing and the grandfather's watching on, and their son is in there too, and, you know, and then there's the shells and this, you know, everything that goes along the beach sort of life, you know. And I thank him for the beauty, and just to be in that state of thankfulness, of observing what's around me, and I sort of bathe in it. I just sort of sit there and just try to take it all in and watch what's going on, and sort of observe the people that are around me, you know, that I've known either just in that moment, or I might have seen them for a few years. But I basically do that, and then I actually do then bathe in the water. I get into the water and I swim a couple of laps of the beach every day. And it might be a bit weird, but I actually pray sometimes under the water, or I just speak out the words holy, 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 and I just speak it out under the water. And just try to change the atmosphere of the water. And I feel like I just got to have this image that it, because sometimes my friend has heard the whales and I'm yet to hear that. And you can hear the whales singing. And I'm like, that sound is obviously can move, and I think it can travel across the nations, you know. I think it can vibrate through and change, you know, other countries sort of thing. That's kind of how I think of it. And so bathing in the ocean physically and swim the beach, that sort of helps me to calm down and just, you know, breathe. It helps you to breathe. Swimming's got a whole, I won't go into it, but there's a whole dynamic with swimming that helps you to breathe and calm and just get sort of focused, you know. And so I look forward to that every day. I feel like if I don't get in the water, I feel like I can't like start my day. It just doesn't seem to work. It's like some people go to the gym. I used to go to the gym a lot every weekday, and that used to help me start my day. But so it's just like what you find helps you to just slow your body down, focus, and then, you know, start your day with God and, you know, whatever it might be. what have I said here? Yeah, I said just to remember it's not a formula. Like, you don't have to copy what I'm saying, but fine, just seek God and ask Him, you know, like that Bible verse, seek Him and He will show you what, you know, He wants you to do. You don't sort of copy other people. It's not the great way to do it. I just said that you need to meet with Jesus, and often, you know, like we take time to meet our friends for coffee, but we don't often take that time to meet with our best friend, you know, which is Jesus. And so I think it's a, you know, just to take that, think about it for a minute, you know, like just this is Jesus and you're spending time with Him and His presence, His Holy Spirit, if you're a believer, is inside of you. It's the most amazing thing when you think about it. And so just to be in His presence, the Holy Spirit's inside of you and there's people around you that need to hear about Him. And so it just sort of like works like that for me. I just sort of sit there waiting and someone usually walks by. And the other thing, I suppose what I've been learning is actually what I think God means when He says to meditate on me. Because that word, sadly, has been misconstrued and stolen by the world and the rise of Eastern religions and practices like yoga that use that meditative or meditation or word. But in the Bible it says to meditate on Him, and I think that, you know, like we lose the essence of what it really means for Christians to meditate if we think about, you know, those other religions. But we actually do meditate or focus on Him, you know, and that is, I think, a key to our relationship with Him. And Dave said I can use a few verses. I thought about when I was writing this that I was actually hanging the clothes on the line and I was speaking a lot of this into my phone because I get these downloads. So I'm putting clothes on the line and I'm writing them. Like, and then I started to feel like him say being set apart for His purposes. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then I'm like, I thought I heard that verse, in a house there's many vessels and so on. So I looked it up and it's from 2 Timothy 2:20-21, and it says, in a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. And I thought, oh, I'll go and check it, see what it says in the Message Bible, because it's kind of sometimes a bit easier for some people to understand. And I thought it was really cool that it says, meanwhile, God's firm foundation is firm as ever. These sentences engraved on stones. God knows who belongs to him. Steer clear of evil, all you who name God as God. In a well-furnished kitchen, there are not only crystal goblets and silver platters, but waste cans and compost buckets, like our kitchen. Some containers used to serve fine meals, others to take out the garbage. Become the kind of container God can use to present any and every kind of gift to his guests for their blessing. Which is kind of a really nice take on the whole thing. So then God was like, I felt like God was saying, like, well, how do you set yourself apart then? How do you, you know, how do you do that for his purposes? And, you know, in this busy, bustling world, it's, like I said before, it can be chaotic. And our life these days, it's not always easy to hear God clearly. And it's a sad thing, really. But I find that today, you know, that it's almost impossible with so many distractions, especially with this product here, the iPhone, the mobile phone, you know, especially its powerful little thing, like I'm using it right now. But, you know, you can travel the world in the palm of your hand. You can look up literally anything you want. You can, what you want to buy, what you want to cook, what you want to knit, sew, sing, read, build, or listen to sermons like I do. You can use it for good things, but, and then, of course, read the Bible. But it really does cause a lot of distractions, this thing. And it's just so easy to literally just get lost in the world inside this thing. And for hours, you know, like several years ago, I was, you know, looking at Facebook and like people do, and I just suddenly realized that I was looking at it and I can't just go like, I want to make a comment because it's my friend's baby birth or something, or, you know, someone's birthday or whatever. And I just like, that's just taken an hour or more out of my morning, you know, and you just sort of think, oh, that's such a waste of time. So I decided to get off it. We use it in the messenger side of it because we contact family. We've got a family chat that we call We Love Family, and my daughter's in Ireland with my only grandson and grandchild and that sort of thing. So it's good for that, but you do have to be really conscious of pulling yourself away from these things. But getting lost in God's presence, you know, that's what we need, you know, to just show that respect to him, really, isn't it? And then God spoke this word. He goes, be intentional. And I'm like, what is intentional? Like, I sort of know what it means, but I looked it up. It says to be done deliberately or to have a plan or a purpose. So we don't just think, oh, well, you know, I might spend a bit of time with God, or, you know, like it's just like this airy-fairy sort of thing. But we've got to be intentional, you know, and sort of plan it and sort of incorporate it, you know, in our day and not get so distracted. And I'm guilty of this. We're all guilty of this, you know, distractive thing. So what did I say? So then we get to remove ourselves from these other systems. There's all these systems in the world that just want to distract us. And we can start to see how God sees, and we can then notice the person or the people around us. So that took a long time to get to actually talking to someone. And that's kind of how it goes, you know, because if you get rid of all that stuff, then you can actually go, okay, there's a person sitting there, or there's that person's back again and they don't look very happy, or, you know, however it goes, you know, like, you know, those kind of people. And instead of just like passing them by, which is really easy to do, because we get up, we're caught up in our busy lives, we can forget to even smile at the person that just walked past. So then what I do, I observe people when they visit my village, I call it, by the sea. They come from Sydney, Canberra, or wherever they come from. And I've just noticed lately, especially post-COVID, that my eldest son's living with us at the moment, and he's seeing the same thing, that it's like they're zombified or something. They're just like really like kind of not with it, you know. They're just sort of so stressed or whatever is happening in their world that they don't even engage with the people around them on the beach even, you know. And so I've just sort of seen them in this sort of detached state, and I often wonder if they see anything, you know. And then I have noticed that they actually don't, because I've seen the whale breach, and I'm like, oh, well, and I'm watching that, and then a seal will go by, and they actually don't see it. They actually haven't seen the beauty of God's creation right in front of them. And, you know, even in the city, you might see a little flower on the street or something. Like, you can find those things, you know. And so, like, I have a friend, he's a sea eagle, so he's often, he knows who I don't know, he sort of seems to be there when I'm there, and I sort of love watching him, and, you know, on the thermals or whatever, and just how they master the airwaves and everything. They're just amazing. And I think if you start to see these things, but sadly people aren't seeing these things, you know, they're not actually engaging in God's creation. And even with the children too, I might talk to them and I'll just say, oh, did you see the whale then? And then they'll be like, oh, Mum, Dad, there's a whale, you know. And then they'll, you know, and then you can just start talking to them, you know, and just hang at the beach, hang on the beach, you know how it's done. And you just sort of stand there and then you just talk to them and watch the whale. And eventually, you know, you get to the God talk, or you start to see what they open up their heart and they'll share their story or whatever they're going through, you know. And, you know, Roden, they're even shocked often that they haven't actually seen that whale or seen that seal or, you know, whatever. They actually, like, kind of think, whoa, I didn't even see that, you know. And then they stand there and it's so nice to see them engage, you know, with their kids and what's around them. What should I say? So, for me, like personally, like I used to be extremely shy and I wouldn't ever talk to anybody. But, you know, God, when I asked Jesus into my heart, it's been a long time, like since 77. So, but over the years, you know, like I just spending time with him and going through a lot of pretty, those ones we don't want to go through, trials and tribulations, you know, you draw closer and closer and it's like to God, and you know, like, you start to have that boldness of being able to talk to people. And what was I going to say? So, yeah, just to be aware, for me, it just comes sort of naturally that I'm aware of what's going on around me and observing my surroundings that I find myself, you know, in on any particular day. And once we understand this, then we can see and hear what God is up to and what he wants us to do. And I believe what he wants us to do is engage with these people that seem to be detached from this world and the situations they find themselves, whether, you know, they're functioning or they're dysfunctional, you know, like. And by that I mean the person we sense from God to talk who could be going through all kinds of issues and situations in their life. But if they are sensitive to the, if you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, he will and does guide us, you know, while we talk to these people. And often, you know, as we get words of knowledge or, you know, different things during that time, you know, like you can, like Abner's a master at it too, you know, like he talks to people and then he's really bold. He'll start praying for them in the middle of the beach, and that's good, we work together. So we just, you know, you take the baby steps, and you know, like a little baby, and then you gradually start walking, talking, and then it'll, you know, you just get better at it. But you just got to... Yeah, like when before Becky and Abner came, yeah, I was sort of like the one-man band, and then Becky and Abner come and, you know, like I could talk to the families, but, you know, and the different people, but when they came, because they had children and they're the same age group, I'm like, yeah, I've got I've got support now. You know, they could go deeper because they've got the kids and, you know, they can go into a different level than I can, you know. And so, I don't know, I hope that makes sense. I sort of shared, Oh, the other thing too, I said that you need to listen to these people. Like, you don't just, you know, the old saying, bash them over the head with the Bible, but you got to really be sensitive because people are in a pretty traumatic state these days. And some will openly share and some won't, but just be patient and sensitive to the Holy Spirit all the time. Like, I'm usually praying in tongues under my breath pretty well the whole time. Like, just, you know, like picking up on things, sensing what God's saying to me about that person. And, you know, just got to be sensitive, I think, to people, you know, and listen to them. Like, they just often want to just talk. And I didn't know that Bob was going to be here because I wrote here, I have a Christian friend and he spends time with God every morning singing worship songs and praying for up to 2 hours, Bob, before he goes out onto the streets. And then he says he's like a magnet, you know, and like they just buzz towards him. And so that really works for Bob, you know, like that was an example I gave. And then yesterday, just to finish off, Mum wanted to visit this friend that she used to do Bible study with, and she's gone into a nursing home. And so I said, look, we'll go and see her now. So we just drove in at Richmond there, uniting, you know, care there. And anyway, Barbara came down. Fortunately, there's this beautiful – it's where my husband's mum and dad were for a few years, but now they've built a beautiful – cafe, and it's really lovely in there now. So Barbara came down. It was so cute. My mum and her, you know, met, sort of said hello with their walkers and everything. But then as we were leaving, I pulled up the car at the front so Mum could get in, and there was this man just sitting there at the door, and I could smell I'm like, that smells like my dad's pipe. Like, it just brought back memories of my dad because I could smell this pipe, and I'm like, who is that? And I could see it, and then I'm like, oh, it's that guy there. And my dad used to smoke a pipe when I was a teenager, and it actually has a really nice smell. Like, there's some really nice blends you can get. And anyway, I just went over to him and I'm like, oh, that reminds me of my dad, you know, because he passed away in 2013, and just that smell, you know, smells can sort of trigger things off like that. And and he sort of looked up, and I said, oh, I'm Jenny. And he goes, oh, I'm Hans. And I said, oh, is that a Dutch name? And he goes, yeah, it's another Dutchie. So, you know, he said, as we talked, he said, no, you know, this is my blend. He said, I mix it myself. I'm like, oh, it's really nice, you know. And then he said, I'm in this nursing home, but he said, I'm one of six boys, like sons, and I'm the youngest, all my brothers have died, and I never married, and so I have no children, and all of this. And then by that time my mum's like winds the window down because mum's got that, so mum's engaging, so we're both talking to this guy and just started sharing. And then this other guy he walked up and he sat down, and eventually I ended up in the car, we're both talking out through the window. But this other guy, he was visiting his mother, and she was his adoptive mother. Like, he was abandoned by his Pakistani parents years ago, and he was probably in his late 30s, and he's been raised by, and he, you know, an English sort of Scottish Irish, he said, you know, dad and an American mother, and he was visiting her. But obviously he's befriended Hans, and they're chatting together. And so, you know, like, was just like really lovely just to talk to him. And then you could see with Hans, it's like all of a sudden after about half an hour, he's like got this happy face and he wasn't looking down. And, you know, and I just think Mum's probably going to go back because she's going to start going down to meet with a friend more regular. And then, you know, that's kind of how it goes, isn't it? You know, like then she's going to sort of talk to Hans. And I said, oh, Hans, you can probably join the ladies group that meet here on a Friday. And they have coffee together and Mum, they call themselves the Eagles. And Mum hasn't been going for a while and they haven't been sort of being able to meet. But now they're going to meet in this nursing home for coffee. So that's kind of the stuff, you know, like I think, is that enough?
Okay, thank you.